This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
This week it came to light that members of the Liberal Party are proposing new party policy ahead of the state election to move from the current regulation in Victoria under the Sex Work Act of 1994 to what is known as the Nordic model. Under the Nordic model, while sex workers themselves are not specifically criminalised, clients and third parties such as landlords can be. Rachel Tyler-Jones spoke with Jane Green from the Vixen Collective, Victoria's peer-only sex worker organisation and the recognised representative organisation for sex workers in Victoria, about what this would mean for sex workers, as well as their clients and the wider community.
You'll often hear it referred to as the Swedish model, and its proponents often refer to it now as the Nordic model as well. It's a range of laws, often promoted as client criminalisation, and it does criminalise the clients of sex workers, but it also involves a wide range of other effects as well. And for sex workers, it significantly reduces the safety of our work. And it criminalises third parties. And what that means is not just clients, but other people that assist and manage our work. So owners of brothels, managers, receptionists, drivers, security, and other sex workers. And what I mean by other sex workers is sex workers that work together in small collectives or even pairs of sex workers can be prosecuted for pimping each other just because they've worked together. And also in Sweden, when it was introduced, sex workers could be evicted because landlords could be prosecuted for providing accommodation and premises that sex workers could work from. And obviously that had a significant effect because sex workers could be rendered homeless. It has the effect of preventing sex workers from advertising. It has the effect of increasing police surveillance of sex workers, and that has really significant impacts because when we talk about client criminalisation, police aren't psychic. They can't walk around and go, well, you're a client of a sex worker, therefore I'm going to arrest you. The way that they find sex workers' clients is by surveilling sex workers. And that means often that clients are much less likely to engage with sex workers in ways where we're able to screen clients and get clients to provide information that allows us to protect ourselves and engage in safety mechanisms. So clients aren't willing to give us personal information, they may only call sex workers with blocked numbers, and they may only be willing to meet us in locations that are remote and are public, rather than coming to see sex workers in locations that we control. So it really significantly impacts our safety. I'm Jane Green. I'm the spokesperson for Vixen Collective. Vixen Collective is Victoria's peer-only sex worker organisation. We are in our 13th year of operation as a completely volunteer, non-funded organisation, and Victoria is the only state or territory in Australia that does not have a funded peer sex worker organisation.
Now, obviously, this legislation has come out of Sweden. Which other countries have currently adopted the Swedish model?
Well, most recently, France. And there's also been, just very recently, a report come out of France on the impacts on sex workers of the laws as they've been imposed in France. From France, the legislation was adopted on the 13th of April 2016. 88% of sex workers are against the criminalisation of clients. 63% of sex workers have experienced a deterioration of their living conditions, and I think that's really critical. 78% of sex workers have experienced a loss of income, and obviously when you're experiencing a loss of income, that impacts your life. It impacts everything about the way that you're able to conduct your life. And I think if anyone in any industry was experiencing a loss of income, it's not good.
Absolutely. Has France seen a drop in the number of sex workers using this model?
Overall, and including Sweden, the intent of these laws is to make sex work not exist. That is the very explicit intent of these laws. Under reports published by the Swedish government, by the Swedish police, there's been no proof that this has been the effect. And given that that's the intent, I think it's very telling that that hasn't played out in the evidence of these laws.
What alternative model would you rather see introduced in Victoria?
On a personal level as a sex worker, I'd like a model of sex work regulation that supports my human rights and critically supports my safety. And internationally, sex worker organisations and health and human rights bodies support the full decriminalisation of our work. And they support that model because it's played out in reality, both in New Zealand, where decriminalisation was put into place in 2003, and in New South Wales, where decriminalisation was put into place in 1995, as being a model that has supported our human rights and health and safety.
Are you able to talk a little bit more about the effects that they have seen in either New Zealand or New South Wales?
Well, I think it's important that for people that maybe have concerns about the impact of decriminalisation, and often people that are proponents of the Nordic model are concerned that perhaps the size of the sex industry will increase, or that there may be impacts on things like trafficking, that under decriminalisation, there is proof over many, many years, because decriminalisation has been in place, for example, in New South Wales since 1995, that the size of the sex industry hasn't increased, that it's been static, that decriminalisation is a better model for the police to have a better access to the sex industry to detect cases of trafficking, that these things are better under that model, as well as supporting the rights and the safety of sex workers. And so when you're looking at all of these things across the board, decriminalisation is what is best for everyone.
Do you know if the motion that's been drafted by the Liberal Party to be debated was drafted in consultation with sex workers or sex worker advocacy groups?
Absolutely not.
And what are some of the concerns that sex workers or advocacy groups have around introducing policy that doesn't take into account their lived experience?
Well, I mean, to go back to your previous question, I think it's very common, and I know certainly in my experience, and I've been working as an advocate for community for many years now, government historically does not consult sex worker community on law reform and regulation. And I know from working with the National Pink, because Vixen Collective has worked with Scarlet Alliance on this matter, that neither of our organisations were consulted in regard to this, and we are the relevant organisations to be consulted. And it's a problem. Marginalised communities, not just sex workers, but many marginalised communities have policy formed about our lives without being spoken to. And we're very commonly spoken about and spoken over rather than spoken to regarding our lives. And it's not a problem that's just reserved for sex worker community. It's very common across the board. And it's essential. You can't make policy about people's lives without talking to them. And if you do, then you're infringing on their human rights. It's a matter of course. That's how it works. And it shouldn't be that way. The Liberals need to listen to our community, because we are the affected community. And it's appalling that legislation and policy can be made without listening to any affected community. And too often it happens in government, and it should never happen.
One of the reported concerns that's been sort of cited as a reason for putting this motion on the table is the perceived rise in the number of massage parlours offering erotic services in the suburbs. Could you maybe just speak to that and the way that the sex work industry is currently changing?
Well, I think we need to recognise the fact that in Victoria at the moment we have a licensing system, and licensing is a hostile system that, again, doesn't support sex workers' rights or safety, critically. And at the moment, the licensing regime is so difficult, both for individual sex workers and for sex work businesses, in terms of having substantial barriers to getting licences, that it doesn't encourage compliance. And when you don't encourage compliance, then businesses are not going to participate in the system. And there's been reports by Consumer Affairs Victoria, which is the regulatory body at present, that have basically said the same thing. Not only is compliance not encouraged, but the system itself will never cost equalise. That means that they're never going to take in fees through brothel licensing enough to pay for the administration of the system. The system is broken, it doesn't work from a bureaucratic standpoint, and it doesn't work in terms of ensuring the health and safety of members of our community. And our community has been telling government for decades that what they need to do to fix it is to implement full decriminalisation. I think critically is people often have this idea in their heads that full decriminalisation means no regulation, and it doesn't. It means that sex work is regulated and sex industry businesses are regulated like any other businesses, and sex work is like any other work. Now, from the point of view of individual sex workers, at the moment, street-based sex work is still criminalised, and obviously that has really severe impacts for street-based sex workers. For brothel-based sex workers at present, brothel-based sex workers don't have a good choice of a range of workplaces. and all sex workers in Victoria are subject to mandatory STI testing. Now, that forces us through one anonymous health clinic in the entire state. That's not acceptable. It doesn't give us good options in terms of managing our health, and no other workforce is treated in that way. And for private sex workers, we are forced to register with the state. It has the impact where essentially we have a criminal record when we're not criminals. It's a record that's held with Consumer Affairs and Business Licensing that can be accessed by the police and council and Consumer Affairs staff, and that can never be expunged. It's lifelong. And I'm just listing a few examples. None of those things make us safer. None of those things make us better off. And none of those things support our welfare or our human rights. Decriminalisation is important because decriminalisation supports our human rights and gives us the same rights as other workers. And that's the key thing. We're not asking for anything different or anything special or advantages. We're asking for the same thing that other workers get in Victoria. Not only have the Liberals put this up as a motion, but it's occurring in a space where the Victorian Greens are running a candidate for the seat of Richmond, which is Kathleen Knowlton, who has been a long-time proponent of the Swedish model. And in the context where the Victorian Greens and the Federal Greens, formally as their policies, support decriminalisation, and yet they're allowing a candidate who has very strong anti-sex work and pro-Swedish model views to run in that seat. And there is more than a decade's worth of sex worker protesting of that policy of running that candidate. I think it's important for people to note that there's been a number of motions in terms of the Liberal Party agenda for the state conference, including gay conversion therapy, which was taken off and defeated, that have been tremendously concerning. And I would also remind people that in Australia, greater than 60% of sex worker community is LGBTIQ. So the overlap between our communities is significant, and things that affect LGBTIQ community affect sex workers, and things that affect sex workers affect LGBTIQ community. And the Liberal Party has been awful to all of us in this agenda.
That was Jane Green from the Vixen Collective, the recognised representative organisation for sex workers in Victoria.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.